Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 456 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week I am joined via Skype by actor Sean Knight as we're going to discuss Nashville Children's Theater's production of Einstein is a Dummy. So we're going to get in that conversation just after, you guessed it, these brief messages.
Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Well, why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Bad credit? No credit? High interest credit cards? Don't work from home. Working from home is for suckers. Go out there with headshot in hand. Audition. Book gigs. It'll be time well spent. At least you'll be paying the rent.
Here's how.
Hello?
Hello, Sean Knight. This is John Malden.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Outstanding. Outstanding. So we're gonna talk a little Einstein as a Dummy at Nashville Children's Theater. So,
perfect.
How's it going? Is he really a dummy?
He is definitely in the opinion of my character. it's a crazy little piece that's imagining him when he is in his music class about 12 years old, and so to my character, who is the class bully, he is most decidedly a dummy.
Wow. Now, I've read some of the reviews, and it's multimedia and everything, so it sounds like it's a very fun show to perform in.
There's a whole lot of multimedia. Colin Peterson, who is the multimedia designer at the Children's Theater, has created some pretty fantastic worlds. There are songs like Which Way Is Up, where it feels like some of the characters are floating in space and they can't get their bearings, and he's created a whole universe behind them. He's pulled pictures that are from NASA's website that are of the actual sun. He's pulled things that have come from the Hubble telescope and all the rangers and whatnot that have been sent out. And he's just pulled all this incredible imagery that really creates the environment for us.
So what's been the joy of doing this show?
The joy of doing this show is that it really is an absolutely wacky piece. I had the great good fortune of doing it 9 years ago when the Children's Theater first did it, and I'm the only returning cast member, so I have now gotten to experience it with two different sets of folk, and it's so imaginative, it's hard to describe. Scott mm-hmm. Copeland, our director, said that on the first day of rehearsal, he said that Einstein, as he was trying to figure out his theory of relativity, was giving up. And he called a friend and said, "I give up." He went home and he took a nap. And when he woke up, about an hour later, he sent a telegram to his friend that said, "I figured it out. It's done." And so this is the playwright and composer's imagination of what happens in Einstein's brain in that hour that he's asleep.
Wow.
And it's fascinating the way you won't leave the play understanding E=mc² necessarily, but you see them describe it in terms of music, in terms of characters, in terms of cards. They go at this creative brain putting together these pieces that represent all this stuff in about 15 different ways throughout the course of the play. And it's fascinating. And it may sound a little too wacky and too heady, but at the heart of it is this 12-year-old Einstein who is dealing with what every kid has to deal with: the class bully, the teacher who doesn't much like him, trying to do fun and interesting things and not get bored in school. And it works on so many levels.
Now, you said you were the only one that came back when they with this remounting of it. Did you come back for the same role?
I did come back for the same role.
So what's
apparently
that?
I'm just a,
You're just the natural bad guy. But I mean,
yeah, I am apparently.
So what's it like approaching the same role so with so much distance in between performances?
I was surprised how much I forgot. I expected it to come, especially musically, much more quickly than it did. But there were some changes in the harmonies, and we actually had the great good fortune that the show's composer was able to come to the theater and work with us. And she actually did some different arrangements for some songs that are now called the Nashville edition of Einstein at the Dummy. So some things have shifted in that regard. But I also feel that with 9 extra years of acting under my belt, I have found things in this character that I hadn't found before. I think that the over-the-topness of him, I'm more comfortable embracing that. But then I've also found things that make him human that I've missed the first time. And so it's nice to be able to play this crazy bully who also has this insecure side, because really that's what a bully is.
Right. So speaking of the music, that was great fortune that you could work with the actual person that helped create this stuff.
Yes.
But it musically, is it, I know that changed harmonies, but would you describe it as a fairly kind of difficult score, or, I mean, what's the score like, I guess, in other words?
I can't speak for everyone, but right. I find it incredibly difficult. There are 5 people on the show, and many songs have 5-part harmony, and they're designed to be fun and peppy and appealing, but they're also very intricate. I know in the course of the show that I sing 2.5 octaves, and I haven't sung 2.5 octaves in a show since I did Sweeney Todd.
Wow.
So there's a good amount of demand. I have to get there early to warm up for a 10 o'clock morning show and hit a high D.
Wow. Yeah. I would imagine. So you said there's 5 in the cast. I want to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
See if you can remember everybody. Who else is in the cast with you?
Mikey Rosenbaum is playing young Einstein. He is an NCT newcomer. Graduated from Belmont, has done some other things around town, and is doing more around town. I believe he's going to be in Christmas Carol at Nashville. We have Megan Murphy Chambers, who's also going to be in, sorry, I said Christmas Carol, didn't I? I meant Christmas Story at Nashville. She's also an NCT newcomer, but if you've seen anything in Nashville, you're very likely to have seen her.
Right.
She plays Elsa, the E in Einstein's E=MC². And she's sort of played his crush. She's sort of his crush in the course of the play. James Rudolph is playing the cat, who is an imaginary pet, it seems, that only Einstein can see until exciting things happen in the play. And then Bobby Wyckoff is hysterical as the German music teacher, Herr Schlopnop Finkerdon.
Cool. Well, I won't try to spell that one, but...
Good luck.
Yeah, I've read the review. I'm like, wow, that's got to be a fun thing to say on stage every day.
It is. And it usually, you would think it was just a one joke pody, but usually someone giggles every time one of us does it.
That's the brilliance of the writing. So so how long do you run and all that kind of stuff?
We run through October 4th, so just a couple more weekends. Shows on Friday and Sunday at 2 o'clock. Shows about 70 minutes, and it's just a great fun piece. I think Saturday afternoon, the 26th, is our afterwards, where we'll have a talk back with audience members who wish to stay. And there's plenty to talk about in this piece.
So what's kind of age-appropriate? Is there a...
You know, I think they originally, and don't quote me here, but I think they originally started marketing this for...
It's an audio podcast. Kind of hard to do.
I know, exactly. They originally started marketing this for middle schoolers, okay. And then opened it up to younger students, because there's a lot in it for a lot of different ages. It's really built so that different ages find different things humorous. And we've had students in there who giggle at the silly things. We've had students in there who laugh at the awesome things. And we've had, on the weekends, adults in there who laugh at things the kids never get.
Right.
So it really works for all ages. I think the most fantastic moment of the show with a student audience, and I hope this is not giving too much away, is when they suddenly break into a rap to help explain the theory of relativity.
Outstanding. So, would you say, I mean, I'm sure it's full of highlighted moments, but is there a moment, without, you know, you're giving too much away, but is there a moment that, like that rapper, is there a moment where you look forward to it every day, every time out?
Gosh, there are a lot of those moments. When Einstein finally convinces his classmates that what they've been doing in school is boring, basically, and they can finally see the cat, the audience always gets very excited. And then, of course, when that cat breaks into the rap and we follow with a hip-hop dance, how can you not get excited about that? But there are actually probably a dozen moments throughout the course of the play where a character does something funny or bizarre that almost always gets an audience reaction, and every day we look forward to those.
Cool. Now, so you break out into a hip-hop dance. Do you get good street cred now, or what?
Well, I will leave that to the audience. It's hard to go from a bully, a prissy bully at that, to someone with a strong street cred, but I do my best.
I'm sure you do. Sounds outstanding. So where can we get tickets? Through the Children's Theater website?
Yes, absolutely. To the Chicken Theater? No. The Children's Theater's website. They have links directly to the show and the box office there. And there are tickets available for every performance so far. They're still available. So come on out and see it. It's fun.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's good to chat with you.
When guests can't appear in studio, they are interviewed over Skype. Skype is a great piece of software that turns your computer into a phone. Talk computer to computer or to any phone or cell phone in the world through the Skype Out program. Interested? Download Skype via inexplicabledumbshow.com. Just look for the Download Skype button. Go ahead. Join in the fun.
All right, so that's it. I'd like to thank actor Sean Knight for stopping by via Skype to chat about Nashville Children's Theater's production of Einstein is a Dummy. Ticket information we discussed about in the body of this podcast will be found on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Hey, do you want to be part of the Dumb Show? Please do so by calling the voicemail line at 615-866-1282 or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com, or follow the show on Twitter @InexplicableDS, @ Inexplicable, D, S. Find out the latest comings and goings and whatnot for the show via our Twitter feed. So next week, we'll chat a little bit about a show that I know a little bit about. We're going to talk a little Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead at Nashville Repertory Theater. So until next week, this is John Malden saying, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's MAGNATUNE. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
alternative media.